Hey gang, are you new to this podcast? Have you subscribed on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and realized that you can only access the 20 most recent episodes on those platforms? Do you want to binge on How Did I Get Here while you are quarantined? Well, check out our archives available for free. Simply go to howdidigethere.podbean.com. Look on the right-hand column and our entire catalog is easily accessible by month and year. Listen to great conversations with legends and new bands alike. Over 800 episodes. howdidigethere.podbean.com. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. How you holding up out there, gang? You holding up all right? I'm dropping shows every day this week, so this is Tuesday. It's St. Patrick's Day, so happy St. Patrick's Day. Maybe you're going to drink alone. I am contemplating having some cocktails later tonight on my own in celebration of St. Patrick's Day and also to sort of like kill a few hours of quarantine. I hope you're all doing okay. I hope you're hanging in there. I hope you're staying healthy. I hope you're staying safe. I hope you're staying indoors when you can. It's probably the best idea, you know? People are freaking out. Look out for misinformation, man. There's a lot of insanity. I got a text today from my dad at 4:33 in the morning with his own thing. It just said, this is, FYI, this is this is from a guy from the board of directors that's a doctor at Stanford. And it was some crazy fucking shit that was not pertinent to what actually is going on. Now, anyway, look out for guys like my dad, basically, is what I'm saying. Like, stay away from him. His information is very wrong. He is of the belief that a lot of this crisis part of this is due to the Democrats trying to make Donald Trump crash the stock market and get Donald Trump out of office. That's a pretty drastic fucking way to do something. And also, how did they start this whole thing in China and Italy? I don't know. Anyway, guys, it's out. It's insane out there. It's insane. You know, I talked to a guy yesterday, a friend of mine, and he called me on the phone. And we were talking, and he had a lot to say. He had a lot to say about this and how it wasn't a real thing and how they're just trying to fuck people over. It's all pretty strange. The information, just try and find the best source of information and stick with it. Usually the CDC is just trying to stop people from getting sick. I believe that. I hope I'm not wrong. But I don't think, you know, my Uncle Jack also, like, he has this thing like, oh, the message in the media is you're all going to die. That's not the message in the media. They're not saying you're all going to die. But that's what he's getting from it. So there's a lot of people out there sort of like taking in this information. My sister, for one, it seems like my family's all fucking nuts and most of them are, but my sister just gets stuff off of Facebook and like reposts it, insane shit. Like, oh, this is, you notice how this only happens during election years? And you're like, no, God, come on, man. What the hell is going on here? Like, they release pandemics during election years to fuck up elections and they start in China? Like, come on, man. And you talk to her and she's like, oh, I guess you're right. Well, I mean, I saw it on there. It came from my website. You're like, okay, all right, buddy. Anyway, everyone's kind of out there like theorizing their own thing and also in shock. Like, a lot of us have had the rug pulled out from under us financially without really any savings to speak of. I've had a fucking slow-ass year with Skyrocket this year up until now. I was behind trying to stay just in the game. And now this is very shocking and strange. So we're all in this weird place. Some of us are in worse shape than others. Some of us are, but we're all in the same boat, you know? We all got the same restrictions. We all got to try and take care of ourselves the same way and take care of society the same way. Remember that we're part of a society at this point. It's not just us. Why am I preaching this shit? I'm not trying to preach anything to you guys. Anyway, so I am doing shows every day this week. There are some good things on the horizon, all right? There's a lot of bands that have switched their thing to sort of entertaining online. Some of them are charging. Some of them are doing it for free. Some of them are doing it by donation. But there's a lot of music going on while you're stuck in your house. If you're a person that likes to go out and see music all the time, you can totally check in. And I know that Austin 360, Peter Blackstock, has spent a couple of days kind of gathering everyone's information about all the live streams and putting it in one location where you can go find everyone who's doing live streams and when. So go to austin360.com, look up that. I'll post a link to that specific page on our How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Don't forget to go like our How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Anyway, speaking of live streaming shows, I have a great show for you guys today. The Cuckoos came over last night. Kenneth and Dave from the Cuckoos, they came over last night. They have a brand new album, I Hate Love. It's available now. You can stream it wherever it is you stream and download your jams. And also, if you want to kick the band a little cash, you might want to buy it on vinyl. They were kind enough to bring me a vinyl last night, so now I have my own vinyl copy of I Hate Love, and I'm going to spin it here in my place, jamming it today while I'm hanging out. Anyway, these guys are doing a live streaming event. They're calling Digital South by Southwest, and it starts today. Tuesday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, 2020. They are playing tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday night, and Friday night. They're doing it every night at 6 p.m. Digital South by Southwest, playing different sets every single night. These streaming shows will be available on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitch. You can go to thecuckoosaustin.com to find the links to all their socials. If you don't know this band, they're great. They're fucking amazing. I've gotten to be friends with Kenneth over the last year. I've hung out with them a little bit in situations like in the studio and stuff while we were making the next for Austin Music Foundation and stuff. And he is just a wonderful human being. They're great songwriters. The band, they have amazing songs. They have a great sound. Man, it harkens back to a time a time when I was coming of age and I was starting my first bands and doing all that stuff, the 80s. And they really have that sound. And it's an homage. It's the way that their music comes out, but they're fucking amazing. I think you'll really like them. The Cuckoos, amazing band. Kenneth Frost and Dave North are here from the show. Probably my last in-person conversation for a while. They came over last night. We tapped elbows and we sat down and chatted. Wonderful band, The Cuckoos. Get their new album, I Hate Love. Go to thecuckoosaustin.com and watch them every night at 6 p.m. Digital South by Southwest on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitch. And without further ado, gang, enjoy my conversation with Kenneth Frost and Dave North from the band, The Cuckoos. Let's get down. I know you're tired.
First time going there, actually.
Was it? Yeah. You'd never been to any other one?
Mm-mm.
Where are you from? Are you from another place?
I was born here, but I grew up in Bastrop. So
right.
I got to come on the weekends, but I didn't go to Anton's.
What about you, Dave?
I was born here.
Yeah? And you grew up going there?
Yeah. Actually, my first show was there. I went to rock camp at the Austin School of Music for like a long time.
Who was your teacher? Maybe they've been on the show.
My gosh.
Or your coach or your person?
Brian Vose was like my first guy.
I don't know.
I ended up taking lessons from him then. And then Derek Hafnin. And I know all the guys there. Darren Lane. Was really good friends with Seabree for a long time. Glenn. I never got Glenn. Rex Ash.
No.
Yeah, he's always really cool, though.
Seabree's been on the show. I've known him for a long, like 30 years.
Awesome.
Pretty wild, yeah. Yeah. Great record, I Hate Love, by the way.
Thank you, man.
I don't know how to do this because I'm doing these daily shows now. We're going to do a regular show, but I kind of want to touch on where we're at and where you guys are at with where we're at. So you just put out a record called I Hate Love.
We did, yeah.
It's available on vinyl. Yeah, people just out there thinking that, man, this band lost a lot of gigs. No one really knows when we're going back to work.
Yeah, that's what I was telling the guys today. I was like, we could be months and months out from playing another show right now at this point. So
imagine there's some bands that are really big, like Brownout. They can't even rehearse because now they've restricted it to 10 people or less.
Yeah,
that's oh my God. Wild.
Sorry, I make some jokes about my other friends, too. What did you have scheduled for South By? A big one, didn't you?
Yeah, so we got official for the first time this year, and that was exciting. I mean, it's kind of a bummer that we didn't get to play the gig.
Yeah, I think, did you talk about growing up always wanting to do that? Now yeah, it happened. Yeah, yeah, I talked about this in the intro a couple of times ago about your specific post.
It's just like, I feel like that's something I've always wanted to do. Like, yeah, just the acknowledgement of like, sure, hey, like you made it to South By. So getting to actually not play the show wasn't that big a deal, unless some superstar like Bill Murray happened to walk in and be like, I'm taking this band to the moon. But yeah, what are the odds of that happening?
That just mean he had a great reefer in his pocket or something.
Yeah, totally.
I'm taking you guys to the moon. You're going to make us famous? No, man, let's go in the alley and get high.
No, we're going to the moon. But yeah, it was kind of like, okay, well, at least we got we can say that we got official, even though we didn't play the gig. But we had a few other shows. We were stoked about Frenchie's gig at Wero's. That's always like a great time. And
he held on to that until the bitter end. He waited to cancel that one until yesterday.
I would not want to be in the position of having to book a showcase, because then you're the person having to juggle between the people saying, hey man, you got to cancel this, and the people going, hey man, this is my only gig, please don't cancel this. So
right.
It's a difficult situation to be in. But I think overall, everyone's kind of, it's taken a little, who knows with this whole virus thing. I think it might not be so devastating to some people, but it's obviously devastating to others. And we all need to be conscious of that. And whether there's like a media hysteria manipulation thing going on, it doesn't matter. Like, the fear is real and people are kind of freaking out a little bit right now, so we all got to play it safe and be cool. So I think the community's kind of been very selfless and done a good job of being like, okay, we got to put everything on ice for a little while.
Yeah,
and it's talked about a lot in Austin, I'm sure, because there's so many musicians and it's like really wrecking our industry, but it's kind of wrecking everybody.
It's wrecking everything.
Yeah, it's not just us. So
if you are a stock market person, this is the worst day since it's been the worst day since 1987, like 80, for the whole week. Yeah. Right? It keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
Is that so it's worse
something
than yesterday?
Like that, man.
This is the worst number since yesterday. I'm not making jokes about it, but at some point we do. Guys, really against my podcast. It's going to be a long week for that dude.
Well, I mean, everybody's got to stay lighthearted in troubling times and like kind of have fun with stuff too. And definitely can't not make jokes about everything, you know? Yeah,
it's a good opportunity to do new things and just to be creative at home and
and
experiment a little bit, you know?
I decided this morning when I saw what you guys were doing, I was like, I had plans for this week as well that canceled last week. There was the Clubhouse Austin?
Yeah, I think we were going to play one of those, actually.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. You came up on my list after the people thing, and then you guys came up. Okay, so I was going to be interviewing you there.
Dang, that would have been awesome.
On camera and for the show. Yeah. And so I thought I'd put out a show every day of South By. It'd be super cool.
Yeah, cool.
And so I kind of freaked out on Saturday. I had like a existential sort of like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, fuck. And so then Sunday I kind of started getting a little bit out of it. Mm. And then today I woke up at like whatever, 7 in the morning when I wrote you. Sorry.
I was up.
I saw your post and I was like, well, I was going to do podcasts every day. You guys are doing a live streaming show. This is coming out Tuesday, March 17th. So starting tonight at 6 p.m. for the next Friday, and Saturday.
Till the 20th. We're pretty much doing every day that we would have had a show.
Yeah. And, so Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yeah. Okay. So those days. Sorry, this is coming out on Tuesday. So tonight and every night until Friday, until Saturday, you will have them. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Ending on Friday. Okay, so what are you going to do? You're playing different sets every night. How long are these streaming shows going to go?
So kind of for right now, we're... like I was telling you before we were doing the podcast thing, we kind of have been making other plans to do different things digitally and make new content. And I just felt like it was definitely a no-brainer. Like, everybody's probably going to be doing live streams this next week for South By and then further on. So for us, we spent the day today, actually, me and Dave, cleaning up our rehearsal space, organizing it, making it look cool so it'll be presentable on a live stream. But this week's going to be pretty straightforward. It's a lot to set up and record live, like a full live band audio, and live stream it and make sure it all comes out and is matched up and everything properly. So it's going to be pretty guerrilla style, just set up the phone and live stream. But we did some tests today and kind of got the audio to where it'll sound pretty good. And we're going to stream it from Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and then Twitch. So it'll kind of be going everywhere at the same time. And I think we'll probably start tomorrow with just doing a normal set that we've been working on. And then from there, we might repeat some songs, but we've got a large catalog and we can kind of just play whatever. So we'll probably definitely be playing different stuff each time. We don't want to just do the same thing over and over again, but we might have to, like, some of the singles for the new record we'll probably play over and over again and over and over again. But, yeah, I think it'll be a pretty cool little straightforward live stream show. It's really hard to keep people's attention when it's just a one-shot camera with kind of not that great of audio. So,
well, it is when it's a band that spent a lot of time working on writing a song and getting it together and presenting themselves. But it's not if it's a cat chasing a ball of string.
Yeah, definitely. Totally. But
that's the weird thing about this world we live in.
But I feel like this has definitely opened up an opportunity for us to kind of jump on something in the digital realm. And we have some equipment that we can use to actually record us playing live that'll sound pretty decent, better than iPhone quality for sure. It's just hard to do that during a live stream. So we're going to do some pre-broadcast or pre-recorded live broadcast stuff.
Right, and like, those will be coming out once a month?
We're actually going to do it once a week.
Sorry.
So it'll be, this week is going to be kind of like our digital South by Southwest, and they're just going to be kind of straightforward live streams every night, 6 p.m. at Texas Central Time. And
yeehaw.
That'll be 7 p.m. Eastern Time for you folks in the East. Are they going to be able to stay? Are you going to leave them up after you stream them?
So with these, I don't want to do that because...
In case it's terrible.
In case, well, no, it's not that.
I don't mean that. I mean terrible sounding or something.
Yeah, for me, it's just I want to... I guess we could, but I feel like I just don't want to have four of the same set or four of, like... three quarters of the same set. It's like I kind of would rather not have duplicate postings of different of the same song, you know.
Yeah.
And like if we started doing live streams every week or once a month or something like that, they'd start to get kind of similar after a while. And we're working on a lot of new songs, but it's just like I don't want to post those on the internet yet.
Yeah. I know that.
Yeah.
It's interesting because we do live in a time, and I think you guys, you're of the age that that's kind of your generation of people grew up saying, like, I had this for breakfast. I hate Steve. He hurt my feelings. You know what I mean? Or something like that. And Steve.
I hate Steve.
I hate Steve. He hurt my feelings.
I hate love.
Yeah, I hate love. Yeah. But you guys grew up in an era of that, but you are cognizant of an era that wasn't part of it. That mystique and who are these people, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
was totally part of the thing, you know?
Cool, yeah.
You're hip to Bowie and Prince and all that
Prince
stuff.
Prince was like Batman.
Yeah, exactly. What about you, Dave? What did you grow up on?
Gosh, Ozzy, the Prince of Darkness. Can't beat Randy Rhoads. I mean, I even have a polka dot flying V like it. And,
sorry.
Yeah!
It's cool. It's my sister. She's into it.
It's cool. I've listened to a ton of Deep Purple growing up. So, like, all those really random live records they put out. And like,
how old are you?
Well, I'll be 22 on the 18th.
Okay. That's pretty weird.
But yeah, I was like,
Randy Rhoads had been dead for like 20 years by the time you were born.
Dude, I know. And I was such an asshole about it, too. Because I hated anything after 70 or like 80 or 82, you know, Randy Rhoads. And then it was like, I just put a limit on myself. And then I don't know what it was. Maybe I was hanging out with Kenneth. I just really stopped caring about what I was listening to, you know, and really just got involved in what I was listening to.
I was stuck listening to The Doors over and over again, and you broke me out of that, so thank you.
Right.
I kind of get The Doors, but I think you're, like, I'm not a Doors fan, but I love you and music and the music you guys make, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's cool. Definitely there. I feel like when we first started, like when we were in high school, like just getting out of high school, like it was definitely there and it was definitely intentional. Like my dream was to be in a modern day's version of The Doors for sure. But I feel like we grew past that pretty soon. And I think we recorded our first EP really early. And I'm proud that it sounds the way it does because I didn't know what the hell I was doing at all. Yeah. So I think that was just like a really early snapshot of a band with like one of their influences, you know?
Yeah, we talked about this last time. Yeah. I didn't listen to it this time before, but I'm like, oh yeah, I remember it. It's like, oh yeah, throw away your Doors records. Yeah.
But now it's just like, it's that's always going to be a part of me. Ray Manzarek and his carnival organ from hell sounds like that's going to be in my soul forever. So it's always going to be there. And the low kind of voice thing, I get that too, but I think my voice is a little lower, honestly.
Yeah, it is. We talked about Sisters of Mercy. Did you ever listen to them?
Mm-mm.
I'm telling you, man, you listen. Smoked it out of my head. That's who you sound like, that guy.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. Dave, so you grew up, where did you hear this? Where did you hear Ozzy?
Well, probably from my brother.
You have an older brother?
Yeah, he's 2 years older.
Okay.
And he plays bass. And
a lot of people, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays all the time, whether it's country or rock. But he was really into Deep Purple and Rush and Black Sabbath. And, of course, I was just like, okay, if I'm going to wear his hand-me-down Black Sabbath shirt, I got to listen to Black Sabbath.
Yeah, yeah. So,
that's what I was doing. And I mean, we really went to a lot of shows when we were younger. So seeing, Zakk Wylde with Ozzy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then seeing Zakk Wylde with Black Label Society, it's like, oh, these musicians aren't just stuck, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, they really can, it just, I saw that they could do basically whatever they want. I was like, oh, I want to do that too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then I had a bunch of different guitar teachers that were showing me all types of jazz, you know, whether it be working on, you know, The Real Book with Dave Seabury, or, you know, figuring out this crazy Opeth song, you know, with Derek Hoffman. And I started realizing that it wasn't just really about the songs or the guitar player for me. It was about the sounds and like the play, the playability of things. So I got really into like, shoegaze bands like My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah, it's one
after
of my favorite
that.
Bands. Yeah.
And I was just like, whoa! I gotta, you know, really approach guitar in a new way now.
Smashing Pumpkins
as well, and just all that really blew my mind at first, after listening to Deep Purple for so long.
There's more guys like us around now. Frenchie is a guy like that, but I know Frenchie has more influences. But there are guys that you know, Van Wilkes, You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's guys that have those inspired by the same guys Van was inspired by. So they have this kind of thing. But then there's these guys like us that are like,
it's weird noise.
I'd way rather hear that than some awesome Yngwie Malmsteen. I'd love to hear Kevin Shields.
Oh man, he's cool too. Though
it's a different repertoire.
It's cool. It's more my vibe. I connected with it like you say you did. You know,
yeah.
It's cats like the Frenchie definitely is a bender. Sure, totally. That 16 Deluxe. I don't know if you've ever heard it.
Oh yeah,
totally.
How do you like working there? You sure are fun to be around in that situation.
It's great. I feel lucky. It's a good opportunity. I've never really wanted to be a self-recording person or I didn't really want to be a Paul McCartney Prince or anything like that and record my own stuff. But meeting Frenchie and kind of getting the opportunity, it's just like, whoa, I better take as much advantage of this situation as I can, because a lot of people pay to go to school for this, and I get to like watch a studio from the ground up, like be built with the renovation and stuff. So cool.
The thing is that people don't acknowledge is that when you do go to school, when you get out of school for recording, you go and get your exact job, but not get paid.
Yeah. Totally.
That's literally what happens. Yeah. So just getting in that, like I was in recording school, that was a 2-year recording school. And at the end of 1 year, you're talking to the dudes that graduate and you're like, so you just went and fucking are working for free at a place and you still got your day job? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, fuck, I'm leaving this and just going to studios and see if they need some help.
No, it's cool. I feel like it's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And just even when I'm just kind of sitting there watching and there's not much for me to do, like I feel like I really like, not even about just the recording process, but like working with artists and how to talk to people. And when somebody's kind of not having a good day and needs some help being inspired or whatever, just kind of being motivational and helping people get kind of in the right headspace, or vocal tips and stuff like that. It's cool to like just see how to... People are just trying to conjure music out of like thin air and record it to put out.
Yeah,
man. It's a hard thing. So it's cool being able to help people do that.
Yeah. Well, I was there with you a few days. We were both hanging back and just the things were going on and chilling. You have the vibe. You know.
Yeah, man. We were chilling with that Fender Rhodes.
Yeah. No shit. Still over there, by the way.
Yeah.
Didn't you play on Jay Milano's song on the next?
I played your Fender Rhodes.
Played the Rhodes. Yeah. Dude, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was fun. She's great.
Yeah. So you guys did some of this record with Frenchie?
All of it.
All of it with Frenchie. Good. Great job.
Yeah, the first song, Heartbreak Paradise, is kind of how we met Frenchie. He hit me up and was like, yo, come over. And we like just shot the shit a little bit. I showed him some demos. Then a couple days later, he was like, I like this Heartbreak Paradise. Let's just come over and let's record it. And we did that in like a day and a half, got the band to trickle in and record parts. And by the second night, it was like, oh, cool, we got a finished song. That was good. Let's do more.
Yeah.
So,
my gosh, I remember seeing a motorcycle crash on the way to the studio.
Oh, yeah. That was
doing
crazy.
Heartbreak Paradise. This dude ended up around a pole.
You went and saw him in the hospital, didn't you?
Yeah. I went to go pick up my amp for it. And then it was just like on the way there.
Dang.
Saw Jesus. This dude wreck really hard. And I ended up having to call 911 there. Yeah, it was crazy.
Wild
and
story.
I was like, oh, hey, Frenchie. I'm a little bit struck right now.
Well, I remember when I first saw you guys, which was now it's been a while. Has it been a year?
Probably,
or 2 years? Maybe a year? A year.
Yeah.
I saw you a year ago. Were you guys already recording with Frenchie then?
Yes. I think I feel like me and you really kind of connected at the bubble reopening party. That's when we swapped numbers and stuff. And we had just... we were the last people really recording in the old bubble right before everything kind of shut down.
Right.
So, and then we recorded the Carpe Diem, that song, right when the new bubble opened. So that's the only one that was at the new bubble.
So you got a little double bubble happening.
Yeah, got a little double bubble.
Yeah.
Right.
So tell me about the song writing. Like, do you write the songs or you guys write them together? How do things come about?
It's been just different. There was a lot of songs that I had started writing before there was a band. There's songs that we will just, we've started, we'll just be like, hey, let's write a song. Cole, play something on the drums. Cool. Eric, play something over it. Cool. Dave, yeah, cool. I'll write some words later. And there's, we've made little demos where we'll kind of be in a more of a recording mind space and experiment and do the same thing. Or
how do you guys have a setup at your rehearsal room?
Well, Eric just got like a kind of little recording station thing. Cool. Last Christmas.
Cool.
And we don't have it set up there all the time, but it's kind of going to be there now with all of this
yeah.
being stuck in home. But yeah, we've just been kind of playing around with it and learning how to use it. But we'll make little weird recording demos and get songs out of that. Or Dave has the song Rattle on the album. It's the end of the first side. Yeah. He wrote that. And
so anyway, you can get them.
Yeah, we've just been kind of trying different. We don't really know exactly how to write with each other, so we're figuring it out. Yeah, but I mean,
a lot of times it's like a demo shows up, and it like 2 months go by, and you know we work on it as band, and it may not sound anything like the demo originally. You know, yeah. there could be new parts added, and you know certain aspects of it, but you know it's definitely molded into something different. And some of the times lately, we do try and stick to the demo's original form.
Yeah,
you know,
we've
it's
been
like,
doing that.
It's just different ways we can mold it, you know, out of the same kind of demo take.
Yeah. So, I'm just thinking about this because we've talked about this before. There's these sounds that you use that are literally like... what is your... love for those digital keyboards of the 80s.
Oh man, I don't know, there's something about those icy synthesizers.
Because it's almost specific. Yeah. It's super, yeah, it's like totally like you are a DX7 dude, man.
Well, it's I feel like a lot of the, I love all of the kind of new wave even to vaporwave synthesizer type of stuff, but I feel like there is a particular sound from the 80s that I like that's not like what the other people like, you know, that kind of Rick Jamesy Rockwell like cameo, like weird, it's almost like a
well, there's even like those weird Chicago kind of like digital Rhodes.
I love Chicago,
but not, yeah, but not like, not like 70s horn Chicago, like,
yeah,
80s like everybody needs a little, yeah, time away Chicago.
Oh, it's I don't know, I like stuff that I've learned that I really like music that has with the keyboards some crazy like Blade Runner-y mad scientist sounding stuff mixed with real piano. That's what like does it for me, that kind of traditional and
yeah,
completely just out there,
yeah,
weird warbly. I like that guy Bernie Worrell that,
yeah,
played with the Talking Heads.
Oh, yeah,
that stuff. And like Parliament Funkadelic,
yeah,
all their,
yeah,
stuff,
yeah. He played, ooh, on that. That's it. That's his band, right?
Just, yeah, yeah, those synthesizers that give you the stank face.
Yeah,
that's what I'm after.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. That's why I keep on thinking about Flashlight. Veedle-beel.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in the world that I grew up in, when those sounds were actually happening and popular, a guy that was a Randy Rhoads guy would hate this.
Yeah.
But somehow you guys have taken the two, put them together, and fed it to me in a way that I love.
Yeah.
It's interesting,
how's that?
Right?
Yeah, it is really interesting. Yeah. Do you, Dave, ever feel like, hey, man, it's just, hey, what am I doing? I mean, you're playing through the thing, and you do get, like, solos.
I mean, gosh, it's really all just a pitch, like, you know.
I feel like, honestly, more, sometimes I'm trying to get, it's like, sometimes I'll pull more for the traditional classic rock route of things, because it's almost like, I feel like I've written enough poppy, short, like funky synthesizer songs. We need some songs that sound like Nirvana too, you know? So I'll be like, let's do this one without keyboards. Let's just do that. And Dave like will be making beats on his drum machine and playing with the Moog on his phone. So I feel like sometimes we're like, yeah, I feel like we don't step on each other that much because sometimes we're trying to go the opposite route.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we flip each other too. We'll kind of like knock each other out.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, you need to listen to this. Otherwise,
Hey, did you guys hear this great piece of news? What do you have, a Moog app?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he got, the free one they just did.
They're freeing it up.
Yeah.
I think them and Korg.
Yeah, the
are laying the freebies on the people.
Yeah, I need to get that.
During this time of quarantine, so we can be more creative.
Also, Domino's Pizza is doing 50% off all their pizzas right now. I was like, yo, Domino's.
It's so much better than Moog.
You are coming in with like, Domino's. That is a saving grace.
Here's what I thought you were going to say. And also, did you guys know that Shakespeare wrote King Lear under quarantine for the play?
Whoa.
But instead you said Domino's. 50% off Domino's.
Garlic it really nuts. Is. Yeah. Yeah.
Is delivery still a thing?
Yeah.
As of this, we're recording this Monday night.
You gotta
Monday
like spray
night.
Lysol on your pizza though.
What? That's terrible.
No, I'm just kidding.
So what did you see any local shows here, Dave, growing up? Did you go to like the Blues on the Green kind of stuff?
Gosh, I wasn't really a Blues on the Green guy, but I would see Van Wilkes play at Strange Brew every week when I was in school. And I mean, I saw a lot of bigger types of shows. So, like, I got to see Roger Waters do The Wall in Quebec City.
Fuck, that's awesome.
And that was mesmerizing. And after that, I was like, I've got to jam a little bit harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was really anybody, any bar I could get into. If I tried to get into the Saxon Pub when I was younger, but it's...
Who were you going to see? Were you trying to see Grissom or something?
Yeah, I saw Grissom a ton. Dave Scher. Gosh, at the Hi Hat, the Jazz Brunch. Carlton.
Oh yeah.
What's his name? Oh, he's really, really fantastic.
I have a great Van Wilkes story you guys might not even know. Okay. I'm reading this book by Kathy Valentine that comes out at the end of the month.
Oh, cool!
And in it, he was a big brother to her. I mean, not that he was just a little older than her or whatever. He named her first two, maybe not her first high school band, but her first two bands that played clubs. He named them, like he named the Violators, and those were the first punk bands in Austin.
Oh, shit.
That's cool.
Yeah. So Van Wilkes was going around naming bands. Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
He's such a
nice man.
Yeah.
I'm always awesome. Like, I'm into that guy.
He's helped me a lot over the years.
He's
tons of advice, and you know, I've got two amps because of him. He's like, always bring a backup amp in case it goes down. I'm like, okay, and never listen to him, and then amp dies. Oh shit, what do I do? Lesson learned.
what kind of amp do you use? What's your rig like?
My main
sound. You
obviously
got the polka dot flying V,
right? Oh gosh, it's gutted after fucking with it as a kid. I wish it still worked. But I use a Marshall JCM-800.
Sure.
And I pair it with one of those Epiphone 60-watt junior amps with the one knob.
Yeah.
So that's stereo. And I've got this gigantic pedal board with, you know, 9 different effects on it.
What are your go-to effects? I'm sure there's going to be a lot of musicians sitting around listening to this.
Yeah, I got this weird Phase 90 pedal that my guitar teacher's
MXR?
No, it's like a hand-built.
Oh, wow.
Just like copy of a script logo, but it's got a faster sweep to it or whatever. It kind of pushes a little bit further.
Yeah.
I don't know. Use that a ton. Like it has never left my board since I got it. Got it for $30.
That's rad.
And you know, I've been liking this Boss ES8 controller. It's like a loop bay. Basically,
okay.
So I can combine effects and switch them with one button. Oh, right, so great. I don't have to do any tap dancing. Yeah.
So that way you have like your sets for the things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can also change the routing of the pedals, so the pedals don't have an order at this point.
Oh, that's so really cool.
Basically, if I run the fuzz through the phase and flip it, it's a totally different sound.
Sure.
So I could have that per patch, and I've been experimenting with, you know, really getting different sounds out of the same effects.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So that's been a nutcase of a project lately, and just pairing it with a volume pedal and the amps. So like when I roll the volume pedal off, and all my effects are just going to the Marshall, and the Epiphone amp stays dry. Clean.
Oh, yeah. That's really cool.
So that's basically my clean channel.
You're using it as an AB or something.
Yeah. So when I roll the volume pedal back, which is only going to the Marshall, it brings the clean sound in from the Epiphone.
That's killer.
So, and it's a quieter effect. So if I'm on an effects patch and I feed it in a little bit, it's just like a little bit of reverb.
Yeah.
And then I can feed it in more, and it's the whole Marshall wall
of
sound.
That's rad.
Yeah, it's cool.
So yeah.
Been having a lot of fun doing, you know, different things with that lately.
Yeah.
Not just with, you know, because I've had a lot of the same pedals, and they've been around for a while, and it's just, I'm trying to use them in different ways now.
I get it. Yeah. That's always, the pedal board is always you're never done.
Yeah.
Never.
It's a trip.
It's just always like, well, now I'm going to, I mean, I'm now at this point, like almost every 3 weeks, something comes off and something else goes on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm at that point. What is your setup, Kenneth?
So, for live shows, it's very about like practicality for me.
Sure. Yeah. That's the...
So I just use that, Korg Keytar. And it just goes straight in DI, and I've got some patches.
And it has some patches in there.
Yeah, and I've been able to edit them a little bit. On my, you've got to use computer software, and I'm very kind of hands on. I like knobs with my synths,
right.
But
me too.
I've gotten them to sound a little bit better, but it's not exactly how I'd want it to sound. But it's more of a performance tool, and there's so many keyboards featured in the songs, so. Ideally, it'd be cool to have somebody else with like a legit keyboard kind of backing it up to fill out the sound, and then I could kind of come in and out and pretend to be the shredder if I want.
Do you guys play at all to recordings? Or?
No, we haven't.
Is it something that you... So I don't think anything less of anyone for doing it, but I personally don't want to do it.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at. I mean, if somebody's just playing their iPod and singing over it, like that's kind of a little too far for me, but I'm not opposed, or I don't look down on people that use backing tracks or anything to fill something out, or but what kind of constricts us is usually when you do that, you have to play to a metronome, and I really like being able to do what we want when we want and just go off into something crazy and wild if we want to without having to stick to a click. And
so that
worry
happens
about it.
Not at every show, but or at every show, there's...
I mean, yeah, it depends on... It's kind of like different little pockets in the songs where it can be... we'll have point A, B, and C for the song, but like in between B and C, there's a little section where we can kind of extend it, go off into a little groove. We like to do improvisational stuff a lot. I'd say more recently, we've been kind of working on really tightening up the show. So
right.
That's been less of a priority, but
right.
Kind of the thing I was talking to you about before the podcast, the little show we're planning, that's why I want to close it out with us doing just like an improv jam, because we do it all the time, and it'd be cool to kind of capture some of them sometime.
Yeah.
We're pretty good about playing off of each other.
That's great, man. Do you guys, outside of say like Sabbath was a band that did that, it seems like
yeah.
That's what they were doing the whole time. That's just, Sabbath is like some weird, like obviously like laying down the blueprint for metal and evil sounding rock, but you listen to those first couple albums, they also sound like dudes that got stoned and are jamming, like
oh yeah,
everybody plays the same riff, and then like there's those kind of like they go off into a
oh my gosh, evil can be fun.
Yeah,
it can
be
fun.
Yeah.
I think that came a lot from like Eric and Cole listen to a lot of jazz, and they're really into just kind of in the moment feel sorts of things. And that's one thing I'd say definitely was an inspiration from me from the Doors. It's like they just go on their right. little that's, yeah, yeah. that's very much yeah. their bag. So I feel like that's kind of stuck with us for sure. And it's just me and Dave have been playing together so long now that we can kind of just. La 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 la.
We're kind of like, oh, you do you and you do you. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I hear you. Okay. You're there? Oh, cool. Yeah, cool. Yeah. I understand what you're trying to say.
How long have you guys been together?
It's been probably 6 years now.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's been a little bit.
That's good.
2014. Yeah.
Yeah. Where is your rehearsal space? Is that Eric's house, you said?
It's our house now. I mean, they've lived together. Your house.
Okay.
Yeah.
You dudes know ladies? Just dudes?
Yeah, we've got one roommate that's just a high school friend.
Yeah.
Do you go out for cocktails?
We've been trying to more, except for now. Now, we can't, yeah, yeah, but, yeah. Cole, our drummer, just turned 21, and that's okay. been kind of a thing. Like, I want to when we go out, we kind of want to go out together and hang
like
out together.
Band.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to be a squad. And, but. Like on my own, I rarely like unless there's a show or something that I want to go to. I don't really go out and do that often. But like the other day, me and Dave and Ian went to Maddie's. Yeah, I went to Maddie's, got some margaritas. That was nice.
Nice.
But yeah, we don't do it that much. I'd like to though, just for the me and the guys really do spend a lot of time. When we're together just working on music yeah. and sometimes we can't help it like when we'll try to just hang out we're just like let's
right
like,
right
we just
right.
start playing
yeah
piano.
It's
yeah,
only
yeah,
possible
yeah. yeah so it's nice to just go out so that now that Molly is 21 it's cool that we can go out but right now we can't go out
yes, cause we're waiting we're really excited about it yeah. but we're
do
waiting.
You guys get the thing as a band as a gang
I'd say we probably haven't because we've been, at least in the scene that we've tried to run around in, I feel like I've been kind of the one that goes out and tries to schmooze with people and stuff. But
I don't mean so much that as, I mean like the connection that you have, like ride or die, baby.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We're together.
I would
we're
hope
the
so,
fucking,
cause that's what I feel like.
Anyone looks at him cross-eyed, you're in there.
Yeah,
you know what
no,
I mean?
For
or whatever.
Sure.
You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. But I guess I feel yes. like I feel like we're that way.
Yeah.
But people don't view us that way all the time because sometimes these guys like we don't like to go out and drink. We like to sit at home and listen to records and smoke.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like I do want people to kind of see us more of as a, like I said, a squad, a unit.
Yeah.
And because there's definitely that brotherly camaraderie.
Yeah, yeah. What do you guys, are there any records that you guys all are into as a band? That's always fun to have a
Joy record. Division.
My gosh, yeah. Joy Division yeah. records.
That's one that really ties us all together. Yeah.
Is
sure.
it that Substance? That's
like,
a greatest hits kind of album?
Yeah, yeah
it's
we like
any one
all
of, theirs.
Of them.
Yeah.
But I think I'd have to say if I thought one was the it's best, it'd be Unknown Pleasures.
Yeah. Yeah. Although Decades, me and him really like Decades,
yeah.
the song.
Decades is so good.
There's a low singing guy.
Yeah, I feel like my voice sounds kind of like Ian Curtis, but he's British and he got his weird rawr kind of thing.
Yeah, you do have more of a he yeah. was not Morrison-y. He yeah. was very weird.
Frankenstein-y
he was
almost.
He was going through something.
Or I feel like I can't help it cuz Ian Curtis, that's one of my huge like just like the Doors, Joy Division, that's like one of my favorite bands ever. I just think they're so it's just so crazy that those guys didn't know what they were doing and just kind of got together and made an insanely unique sounding album that's so dark.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like whenever we play, like, rather than when we're recording or, like, how I sound on the record, that yeah. doesn't really come through that much. But whenever I sing live, I think it's just kind of going into autopilot mode and, like, playing the keyboards and singing and everything that I do put on a little more of a, like, deep Frankenstein-y thing with some of my vocals. So, yeah, Ian Curtis, huge inspiration for me.
Yeah.
And every now and then somebody says, hey, you know, you kind of remind me of Ian Curtis. I'm like, thank you.
That's cool.
That's my favorite compliment.
Yeah. He didn't have real cool hair.
No, he didn't.
It's kind of a bummer, huh?
Um, I told you guys the album's great a few times. This is fantastic work you've done. This is your debut album. First one people can get. They can find you guys at thecuckoosaustin.com. I Hate Love is the album. Let's talk quarantine. Talk about listening to records. What's the latest? Yeah. What's the latest records you listened to in the last couple of days? Any ones you're like, oh shit, I listened to this. It was great.
Burzum.
You? What was that, Dave?
Burzum.
Burzum?
The gray one with the long pipe on it.
I don't know who that is.
It's Far Vigernes. It's black metal.
Oh, okay.
It's black metal.
Is that where you get?
It is great.
Yeah?
Yeah, really dark synthesizer and distorted guitars. It's great.
Very industrial sounding. Is that what's going on with that?
More like cloudy and doomy. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I've been kind of listening to... really spinning that Tame Impala album a lot that came out. Yeah, just good. Like, it's not my favorite or anything, but it's just good, easy listening that sounds so lush. But also a little bit of like a early 2000s, mid 2000s pop and R&B kind of phase. Like, ooh. I've been listening to like Usher and Timbaland lately. And I think I just really liked a lot of the production and crazy synths that are tucked back that you don't really hear. Yeah. Like, Britney Spears' Toxic's a great example. Like, this is a wild song.
That is a great single. Yeah. That's a great record. That's a great...
Totally.
Yeah. That's an exciting song to listen to.
So no particular...
It's weird, right?
It's a good point.
But no particular albums in that genre, but I've kind of been going down memory lane a little bit with some... Don't look no further. Baby, I'm right here. Yeah, man. Baby Bash.
Yeah, man. So what else other than... Well, I can't even remember what the name of the band.
Oh, gosh. Is Burzum?
Burzum.
Yeah, that's cool, though. I mean, I just discovered Buenas Vista Social Club, which is like a Spanish gold, like golden
Cuban.
Pink.
Cuban.
I'm Cuban. Yes. Hell yeah.
Yeah, my parents were born in Cuba.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, that record has so many great guitar licks on it.
Yeah. You know what happened to me when that movie came out? Did you see the movie?
I haven't.
Oh, there's a movie.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a documentary. They go down there and they do that record.
Awesome. That's cool. Yeah, no, I just found out about it.
It was great for me and people like me because growing up, people didn't know Cuba or what it had to offer except Castro and cigars. And so... then everybody wanted to talk to you. You became less like, you know, you became kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
In the late 90s when Ricky Martin became popular and stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, kind of sort of.
It was called the Latin Scare of 1999.
Wow.
Okay.
Interesting.
They ended up giving us our own Grammys at that point because they were like, just you guys go to another place because you're not going away anytime soon.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's cool. You guys are going to be doing these live streams. People can tune in tonight. They can go to the cuckoosaustin.com, and there'll be links to it there. I like to give people one place to go.
So, yeah, I'd say website. That's a good singular place to go.
Okay. A couple more questions about quarantining.
Yeah,
for sure.
What have you read lately? That's good. That you can tell.
I have not been reading at all.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yes. You know where the towel is? It's right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the only thing I've been reading is people's stuff on social media.
Well, I bet there's a lot of people reading that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
What about, have you watched anything on the television that you can be at a movie?
Watched Outbreak.
Really?
You did? Yeah. It's good. I liked it.
How did it compare? I haven't seen it. How did it compare to what's going on? Like,
way worse.
At what point of the movie are we in?
No, they their stuff is like way worse. People bleeding out the eyes and stuff. Yeah, but Cuba Gooding Jr. saves the day.
Nice.
Good. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cuba's back, baby. I'm telling you. Yeah. It was one big movement in the 90s to let people know we weren't going to steal your hubcaps.
Cool.
What about that? That's I asked you about shows, movies, books, music. Anything else?
Well, I mean, I've mentioned it a little bit, but I guess people were starting some sort of weird little web show that'll be after this week of live streamed shows, we're going to do a weekly 20-minute pre-recorded show. Like broadcast show that we'll stream live for like a premiere each week. But yeah, I don't really know what it's going to be. It's just going to be visual and auditory stimuli for 20 minutes. There'll be music and hopefully people dig it. But yeah, we've been kind of trying to figure out what to do since all of our plans got canceled. We were supposed to do South By and then the tour and put out another EP. So we're still going to be doing all that stuff just whenever the world calms down a little bit. But for now, we're making some weird TV show, so if you want to tune in, it'll be out.
I mean, gosh, now's the best time, and like greater chances now of getting figured out right. on the internet than right. ever, you know.
Yeah. And here's what I like about you guys: turned lemons into lemonade.
Yeah,
you're like, you know what? We're gonna still be doing stuff. We're just gonna find a new way to get to you.
It's gonna be different. It's gonna yeah. be hard, but yeah. we're fuck it. We're gonna do it anyway.
I respect you guys a lot. Like, seriously, not only are you just amazing songwriters and just a great fucking band with a now an amazing record. Like, seriously, this is a fucking amazing record.
Thanks.
People need to get out there and check it out. Do people do dance mixes anymore?
I don't know, but I'm so down
don't
for
you
that.
Think, don't you think this I would be a great mixes. Record? Like, slide it. Hey, man, if there's yes. anyone, look, we're not making any money. We're not doing anything.
Make some dance mixes
if
for
you're,
us.
If you're like a cool person out there, reach out to the Cuckoos at thecuckoosaustin.com. Get a hold of their stems because they need the stems so that yeah. they can do all the different wacky shit.
Maybe that'd be a good segment on our little new Cuckoo
I
show.
I think so, too. Also, can I tell you, Dave should present a new black metal band to the world because nobody knows.
Oh yeah, totally.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows black metal. You could present a new band to the world every week.
Well, I could target it.
I guess I can kind of. I don't. Yeah, I guess kind of the plan is it'll be. I want it to be very old school MTV style, yeah. just a little bit of eye candy kind of stuff. Also, every time we've told somebody about it, they've said it's like that show iCarly on Nickelodeon.
I've never seen that.
It's kind of like...
It's a classic.
Yeah, it's like... yeah, it's classic. But, yeah, so we might... I think we're going to call it iCuckoo, and it'll start out...
Yeah, it's cool.
Just like iCarly, y'all.
So excited yeah. about this.
So it'll start out, and we'll do a little... It's got a wacky little intro thing I edited last night. And then we'll say hello. How's everybody doing? What's going on in the world? Then we'll do one song. We'll just pick a song for the week that we want to play from the record, from the EP, maybe a new one, whatever.
Yeah.
And record it so it sounds good and everything, and film it with multiple cameras and do a cool little 5-minute song or something. Then have just different segments where we're talking... I've got a lot of old school commercials and little sound clips and stuff that I've cataloged for just throwing little weird,
oh, that's cool.
like bowling commercials from the 80s and stuff like that. And right now our segments are going to be the song to start it out, an improvisational jam to close it. And in between, we'll just kind of talk about what's happening in our lives, what's happening in the world, if there's anything going on musically that's cool. And then we'll do a song review of the week where we pick a song and all the guys in the band listen to it, and then we'll talk about that, an album review, and then a movie review. So we've got
awesome.
Those three different things, and I'm sure it'll change. Like, maybe we'll do some skateboarding stuff someday, or
gosh,
we'll do
a
pie
videos.
Fight episode or something. But I want it to be kind of ever changing and just weird, like wacky content. So iCuckoo, stay tuned.
iCuckoo. Find them at thecuckoosaustin.com. Thanks for being a light in this weird time. People are going to be locked in, I think, for a while.
Yeah.
So your videos will keep them company at least once a week. And gang, starting tonight, which is Tuesday, March 17th, the Cuckoos will be performing live sets, live streaming sets, gorilla style.
Gorilla.
Tonight, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday the 20th. All four nights. Thanks for doing the show, guys.
Thank you.
Good luck
man.
With everything. I think this might actually be probably my last person-to-person
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the rest of them are probably all going to be Skype for a while. So
R.I.P.
I'm glad it was you guys. Not R.I.P. the show goes up. Yeah. Dude, I used to just put out 2 shows a week. Now in this crisis, I'm putting out 5.
Nice.
So fucking let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's entertain the shit out of people.
We will be the light.
Yeah. Thanks for doing the show, man.
Anytime. Thank you for doing the show too, man.
Yeah. Kenneth Frost and Dave North from the band The Cuckoos. Their brand new album, I Hate Love, is available wherever it is you stream and download your jams. And gang, if you want to kick this band a little cashish, you might want to buy their record on vinyl. Go to their website, thecuckoosaustin.com. And as we talked about, they are celebrating their own digital South by Southwest with live streaming shows every night starting tonight, March 17th, tomorrow night, March 18th. Thursday night, March 18th, and Friday, March 20th. They will be available on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitch. They'll be playing different sets every night. Go to thecuckoosaustin.com for more Cuckoos info. I love those guys, man. I really do. What a great band. I love what they're doing. I don't know if it's because it touches a part of me that I connect to sonically, or their great songs, or just their general vibe. And Kenneth and I have become pals over the last year, and he's a great dude, man. Great, great dude. So's Dave, man. Great band. Get out there. Check them out. The Cuckoos doing live streaming shows every night tonight through March 20th. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Whatever that means to you. If that means I might have some drinks tonight. I don't know. I might. I've got some podcasts throughout the day. I'm talking to a lot of different people. Primo the Alien, Ray Prim, Deanna Wheeler. Show's coming out in the next few days. All happening, baby. Welcome to Tuesday, St. Patrick's Day. Stay safe, you guys. Stay safe and healthy. All right? Let's get down.